Well, this morning we continue our consideration of the 23rd Psalm, very well-known passage of Scripture. And we've all heard it many times before. Well, we're going to hear it again this morning. So let us give our careful and reverent attention as I read the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My text this morning is the first part of verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, I don't know about you, but to me that always sounded like a very odd verse. Even as a child, listening to it, I imagined a lamb with a bib around its neck, seated at a table next to a big hungry wolf. I couldn't quite understand. What does he mean, you prepare a table before me? Is he dropping the whole metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep? But most of the commentators tell us that no, he's not. Even though it sounds a bit odd, he is referring by table to the tablelands, to the meadows of summer that are up in the highlands of Judea. And during the summer months, the shepherds would naturally take their sheep. They would lead them up into those high tablelands where they would pass the warm summer months there being fed on the lush pastures. We have tablelands here in America. We've given them the Spanish name, the Mesa, which means table. But if you think about it for a moment, those meadows, those tablelands have to be prepared. And that's what the passage is saying to us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now this word prepare is a very important, heavy word in the original language. It means literally to lay out, to set in rows like you prepare a garden, to make ready, to assess, or to set in proper order. You know, I don't know about you, but as a child I would see these religious calendars with pictures there of paintings of shepherds. And they always seem to have a great cushy job. You just sit on a rock and lean on a staff and watch the sheep cavort. Looked a lot like fishing, you know. So maybe it's something I'd like to do. But actually, shepherds have an intense amount of work that they have to carry out. I remember reading a real estate brochure about a farm that was for sale up here in the valley. And it said, just look at it. This beautiful farm makes you want to relax. And I thought, yeah, I've worked on a farm a few times, and it's way too much like work. Don't want anything to do with those. The shepherd had a great deal of work to do. He couldn't just get up one morning and lead his sheep out to the high tablelands. He had to go there ahead of time, and he had to survey those meadows. He had to make sure that there were places there for he and the other shepherds to camp. So they had to set up base camps near some decent water supplies. He also had to make sure that there were sheep pens there for the sheep to be kept in at night. When I was in northern England a few years ago, we went up to the Hadrian's Wall, the ancient Roman wall that was across the top of England to keep those horrible Scots, my ancestors, away from civilized folk. And as we're up on the wall, we noticed these stone enclosures. They were circular. They were about 40 feet across, and they had a little door, you know, a little gap in each one of them. And I asked one of the guides up there, what are those? And he said, oh, those are ancient sheep pens. They've been in use for centuries up here where they'd keep the sheep at night. Those things had to be provided for the sheep, or else they could be snatched by foxes and wolves and so forth. He not only had to do all that, he had to remove noxious plants from the pastures. Sheep have a genius for eating up rubbish that's bad for them. So there was a lot of work, just like any farmer has to do, for this shepherd to do. And this is what this verse is referring to, the preparation that the shepherd makes for his sheep. But many of the sheep are very much like us. As we look at pictures of shepherds, doesn't look like they do anything. And the sheep, when they consider the shepherd, they never think about all of the work that the shepherd has done for them. They never realize the preparations. And so we are the same way as we think about the good shepherd. Most of us are very much like the kids here today. We really have no notion of what God has prepared for us. That literally everything we have has come by His preparations. If you go back to the beginning of Genesis and you read how He created the world, He created light, He created darkness, He created the sky, the water, the land, and then the plants, and after that the fish and the birds and the animals that creep upon the land. And last but not least, He created human beings and placed them in the garden. All of these things, the book of Genesis makes it very clear that God created all things. He created them out of nothing, and He created them in a very careful, sequential manner. That is to say, an orderly manner, one thing after another. And, you know, astrobiologists who've been leading the search for life on other planets have talked about what is necessary for life to exist on a planet. And they said, you know, a planet has to be exactly the right size. It can't be too big, or the gravity would be too great for life as we know it to exist. Furthermore, this planet of the correct size has to be within a particular distance from its star. We call it the Goldilocks zone. It's an informal name. You know, not too far, not too close, just right. So it's Goldilocks, right? If it gets too far away, it's too cold, like Mars. If it gets too close, it burns up like Venus. It's got to be in that little zone. And what they've come to realize is, for life as we know it to exist, you have to have liquid water. And for that to exist, it has to exist, in astronomically speaking, a very, very narrow perimeter. It's a very, very fragile thing, life. And yet God has created life for us. But, you know, we are mostly like sheep. We are thoughtless about these things. Of course, if you talk to most people in our society today, what I just described as God creating the heavens and the earth, they'll kind of snicker up their sleeves and say, well, that's a nice little story. But being scientists, we know about evolution and things of that nature. So there's a, you know, especially when you go to England, you know, you mention creation and they just laugh you out of the place. They think you're thinking of Goldilocks herself or something. But even those of us who accept the Genesis account, even we have difficulty understanding how special it is. In my misspent youth, I spent a lot of time watching television. And one of the shows I watched, and some of you of a particular ancient age like me will remember the show The Waltons. Remember that? Back in the 70s. Supposedly took place here in Virginia. And in one of those shows, Grandpa Walton takes John Boy up on the side of Walton Mountain. And they sit up there and they look across at the beautiful Blue Ridge, which looks suspiciously like the mountains around L.A., you know, and you can hear the harmonica in the background and Grandpa saying, yeah, you know, the good book tells us that the good Lord made the heavens and the earth and the critters and the animals and everything. And finally, at the end of all that, He got around to making us. And John Boy, that ought to tell you what we really are like. You know, we're just kind of an afterthought in the Almighty's book. Well, you know, Grandpa's got it exactly backwards. You know, it's not that God said, well, I made this beautiful world, so now what am I going to do with it? Oh, I guess I'll put some people in it. No, He made the world with us in mind. And He had everything prepared before He called us to exist. And it is because human beings are the head and the chief of the creation. This idea that we are a parasite upon this planet is something that's rather persistent. A few years ago, my misspent old age, I watched movies. And there was a remake of the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. And you remember Klaatu, the alien that looks just like us, came And the astrobiologist that met him found out, why are you here? And he says, well, I'm here to save the earth. And she goes, oh, great. Well, she didn't realize he meant destroy all human life and save the earth because you guys are polluting it so badly. You know, and that's kind of the idea that we have today in our society, that human life's a burden and it's all gone wrong. And, you know, the problem is not that we have a lack of evidence that God has created the world. The problem is that we're sinners, and we, in spite of the evidence, misunderstand it. We don't properly understand who we are and what we are before God. It's very much like looking at the sun. I hope you all know you don't look at the sun. It's too bright. It'll destroy your eyesight.